You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Actual still, like, not kayfabe or believes in the kayfabe, like MJF and AEW is probably the best classic heel at this point, where he's able to cut scathing actual promos while actually while staying in character. And when Jake the Snake came back, he also cut a solid Jake the Snake promo.
Even that red light is to be believed. I believe we are live now, yeah. And welcome to a new exciting episode of Low Key on the We Are Libertarians Network. Hi, my name is Harry, the AKA the Moving Target. I'm here, as you guys can hear, like, yes, if you guys must know, we get behind the scenes, we still talk about all this stuff. It's just usually during these hours, we hit record and let you guys in on the fun, the stuff that we clean up for the rest of you, because we don't have time to hit pause on YouTube page channels like that. But, of course, I am not alone. You know I do not fly solo, at least I try not to, and I bring along some of the best people to me on the Weird Libertarians Network here in the basement. I've got Reinhold with me. Reinhold, why don't you go say hi?
Hey, everybody. Sorry, I'm eating a zinger. So.
Oh, cool. We're just going to eat on air. That's what we're going to do?
Why not?
That's what we're doing now.
Your friends are doing now. Right?
Shutting down the studio. Crunching. I'm shutting down the studio.
As long as there's not that we're not crunching chips or making crunching noises. That's out.
God. I need to do that. I
need that in my ear.
Vincent, thanks for you for laughing at that joke. Vincent's also here. Vincent, are you going to go say hi?
Hello, everyone. I'm here, as always. Fresh from making a scowl just suffer yesterday. We'll talk about that more when we do the next media thing. But, Scalja did suffer. He suffered
good.
A lot.
Good. I like when he suffers. Hi, Christy.
Hi, Christy.
Yeah. But I should probably do that as a skit, you know, just me just threatening and turning off the studio when some bad stuff happens. That's it. I'm shutting the studio down. Cut the lights off. Wrap this stuff up.
Do people even know what that show is anymore?
I don't know. You're probably right.
that was dated when the Chappelle Show did it.
I know, right? Oh, man, yeah. That's I will open it back up, but you're going to have to go to find like some local like apple farm. Give me some apples.
But it has to be a specific.
I need it.
Granny Smith apple.
I know. We need to do that. See? Boom. Look. You know, any business wants to have sponsorship. We got cool skits for you guys. Look. We got skits. We're ready to go. Anyways, so as you guys can hear, like the topic we wanted to bring out superheroes, but we started talking about like wrestling and as you heard Vincent complaining about kayfabe, and you're right, kayfabe is dead. I got really mad. I was listening to the local radio station here, 93.1 WIBC, and I got very upset with them because they had a wrestler, you know, doing, you know, actually like, but he's not wearing his wrestling name. He talks to him behind the scenes because everyone brings up like that. So but he's on professionally with his real name, and they keep referencing it up, and then they cracked a joke with it, right? And they were just like, dude, you just cracked a joke with my wrestling persona. I've got to keep kayfabe, right? And then they got mad at him for just like, I have to keep kayfabe. You can't reference my persona. Because if you do, I have to act my persona. Mm-hmm. You know, it's
The other example I was talking about is in AEW, MJF doesn't break character. Mm-hmm. When he does meet and greets, he literally treats all the people that are there to meet him like shit. Because he's a terrible person. His whole thing is that his character is a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. There's literally pictures of him flipping off 8-year-old kids there to sign posters for him. Mm. He's like, fuck that kid.
That's awesome.
That's his whole character, mm-hmm. is that he's a little shit.
Yeah, and if you liked heel characters growing up, you would have loved that. You know, I loved heels. You know, I would have loved it. You know, I loved it like when you're snubbed by the heel, like when you stick your hand, like if you get tickets, you're at the gate, and you stick your hand out there for the heel, and the heel snubs you. It's just like, oh, so good. Yeah, it feels like, so good.
I don't know if you know the story about Chris Jericho. He actually got in trouble because he was in the elevator with this dad and his son.
Yeah.
And this is when he had his massive heel run as champion. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to be nice. And he's had to keep character the whole time. He treated this dad and this kid like total shit because he was in character. He had to be a heel. He didn't want to break that. Everybody knows that Chris Jericho right now is the guy who punched at HBK's wife in the face. You know, that's who this heel character is. And he got in so much trouble because this dad and kid were getting really upset that he was just ignoring them and talking down to them and treating them like shit.
Gotta keep kayfabe, baby. Yeah, and there's also the other thing, because there's just people who don't like treating people nice, who are faces. It's like, I'm not, you know, like I can't keep being this nice.
Right.
Yeah.
It's always great when people are able to keep character and understand who their character is.
Like The Rock, you know, he didn't really become a true face till he got rich, okay?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. When they stopped letting him just insult people 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah, when you're rich, you start insulting people. It's like, boo, boo. These are real boos. These are real.
You're a heel now.
Yeah. All right, yeah. Mm. So I did plan on making like myself some hot cocoa and drinking hot cocoa through the show, but now I am drinking whiskey honey because like they do a little sweet little burn, to get me through this episode tonight. As you see that wearing tie dye, I know, I look like I have I went through Reinhold's wardrobe, but you know.
You should have said something. I would have buddied up and got some. I have some tie dye I could have wore.
We should do that during the summer. We should do an episode. Get the lavalier mics out and tie dye for an episode. You know, sit out there on a Friday. We can do it on a Friday episode. We do a long form Friday at the studio. Tie dye, tie dye in front of it, right? While we're doing it, because they'll drive us. Because we do it at the beginning of the show, right? They'll drive at the end of it and be able to put it back on.
We were. I was. Probably at 7 years old, and we were doing this like summer camp at this park right next to where I live at. So it was like a 1 week thing where I would just go for the day and then go back home. And while we were there, one of the things we did was we made candles, wax candles, and then we did tie dye. Right. So that was fun. That was a good experience to learn when I was a kid how to do tie dye.
Okay. All so,
right. Hippie nice. Like me.
I've done it a couple times, but you know, I don't keep tie dye in my wardrobe. But also, my wardrobe is mainly graphic tees of anime or video game stuff. So, I mean, that's just what my wardrobe is.
Yeah, and your Coheed and Cambria cover band gear.
I mean, obviously, but that's for later. You know, I had to keep an entire chest full of flannels just in case.
I feel like going good will just pick you up a bunch and just so you can have the photo.
Just have it.
So summer is hippie, winter is grunge. Is that what we're doing?
That's fair.
I enjoy the wardrobe changes. So this episode, we actually do have a topic to talk about. No, we're not, you know, get in line with Vincent's angriness. No, we're not going back to her, stuff like that. One, because I've got to watch Gundam Unicorn, and I have been busy, and I haven't picked it back up. Because there's like, I kind of remember Gundam Unicorn, but there's a key change in it that I don't remember, and I couldn't really spell it out. I was like, okay, I got to rewatch this thing.
It's fair.
When I talk about, you understand what I mean. Or if you've watched Gundam Unicorn, you understand but the flip I'm talking about that happens in the show. All right. So, but we are talking about, and which I wanted to talk about, is which I brought it up to a little bit on Saturday when we were recording the big show. And then it went off in a direction, which I didn't want to go off into, which I like, which Reinhold does what Reinhold does. Sees anger and charges for like rhinoceros, and I had a wave in front of him. Hey, no. But it is, I wanted to talk about DC movies, and he thought I wanted to talk about Henry Cavill. And that is not what I wanted to talk about.
My main thing, thought that's what precipitated it. That's what
Yeah. Technically, it did because it brought it up to the forefront. Mm-hmm. So you're,
but
you're,
also
you're,
James Gunn just in general.
Yeah, James Gunn in general. So as everyone knows, Henry Cavill is not putting the cape back on to be Superman. I don't care. I don't like Superman. Mm-hmm. I don't care.
So sad.
Don't care. what I do care about, what does bother me, right, is the potential rebooting again of a DC cinematic universe. They're trying to make a DC cinematic universe or just rebooting the series. And what I have concerns with going forward because of James Gunn's post and everything else we're talking about is what's going into the future of DC movies. And this whole superhero movies in general is what I have issues with. So this is what the discussion was going to be for a little bit tonight. If we don't stand on to it, to F it back, this is our show. We do what we want. We talk what we want.
All I can say is if you guys don't want James Gunn, just tell him to come on back. Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special was so good. I'm sure that the third one's going to be great. We could use more James Gunn in Marvel.
I agree, but I feel like the biggest issue with DC stuff in general has always been that they can never pick a consistent idea across all their things that they're doing at mm-hmm. any given time.
Yes. Right, but don't you think that this is the perfect person to actually complete that process, to actually do that?
No.
I don't know.
Absolutely not.
Because he's not Kevin Feige. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, no. I'm not saying that. I'm just I just don't think he can make a cohesive... I don't think he's the guy. If he had to make a cohesive cinematic universe, I don't think he's got it. If that's their biggest plan, he ain't got it. I don't think he's got it.
They're trying. The DC is trying to make James Gunn the new DC version of Kevin Feige.
And while I think it could work, I have a lot of skepticism and a lot of things that I'm worried about just in general for DC mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. as a whole, not just James Gunn running it.
Right.
One of the big things is that they're restarting everything again. They've been I'm sorry, Scoutcha, but I'm really not, so we'll get into that later. But for DC's movies, especially after they tried to cash in on this whole we need to have a shared universe thing that because mm-hmm. of Marvel, they never were able to fully connect together a lot of things for their series because you have things that are supposed to be comedies that have the same emotional and interesting feel as things that are supposed to be serious. So like Man of Steel and the original Suicide Squad movie shouldn't feel as close to similar as they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that is one of the bigger issues of the universe for DC is that they can't really seem to pin down a way to move their universe in the same direction without copying, pasting.
Right.
Yeah. But do you think maybe that they accept that and that's why they went out and got James Gunn? That they want somebody to come in and do what you say that you want done. He's just going to do it by taking it back to the beginning.
Now, I can understand the need because you think something is so awful, take it down back to the studs and start over. Okay. All right. We've all seen the studio. We all understand. Take down the studs and start over. Okay. Don't fix this. But that's my thing is it's like, I don't want to watch Martha's pearls drop on the ground again. I'm done with that. I've seen that way.
I would love to not even see a Superman or a Batman in DC. I want let's
they ain't got nobody
characters.
They ain't got nobody. They ain't got nobody to make running like that.
They're bringing Lobo in. They're dumping Aquaman finally. They're bringing in Lobo. They need
Jason Momoa to put it. They effed him up like, I'll play Aquaman. Whoa, whoa, whoa! This is a great Lobo. But the thing is, to bring Lobo in, how are you going to introduce Lobo, right? How do you bring Lobo in? The thing is, hardcore fans know exactly who Lobo is. Someone's going to watch that movie five times, knows exactly who Lobo is.
How many non-hardcore Marvel fans knew who the Guardians of the Galaxy were?
Right, and I agree with that, where you're coming from with that, Reinhold. But the other thing is that while they have a lot of, as of right now, there's a lot of general ideas, where some of his ideas so far that we know of, we don't know a lot yet.
Right,
have potential. Right,
yeah, we're going off tweets.
We have leaks and the little things he said can have potential. We don't know that James Gunn is going to write Lobo. Mm-hmm. He could just be, this is how I want Lobo to fit into what I'm writing. Mm-hmm. That's just the kind of how the Russos were with the Marvel movies for like the second half of most of the Phase 3, where they didn't have full control of what was happening to the other characters, but they knew where they were going to go with them. So while Lobo could potentially be a good movie that people want to go see, there's also the other flip side of Morbius. Of a character that nobody knew, nobody cared about, and then it came out and it just flopped, and it was so mediocre that it became a meme on the internet because it flopped.
That's what I watch. Morbid time. I can put that on. I can put Morbius on. We can not watch it together.
I'm gonna go the Judge Dredd route. But
I mean, hey,
Judge Dredd was good. Okay, that was good.
Which one? Which one?
Both. Both were good.
Alone one.
Yeah, they're both were good.
I love Stallone, but his Judge Dredd was terrible.
Movie. Oh, come on. It's so cheesy and good. You sit there.
But with geez, the Stallone movie, there's so many other areas to go with. You didn't have to go down another route. You already had Demolition Man. Just keep on with that. Do another Demolition Man.
But the remake, that remake is so much better. Like, I think I watched that like probably like five times. I'll admit that. Not in the theater five times. I'm talking about
at home. But correct me if I'm wrong, Reinhold. Didn't James Gunn do Brightburn, if I remember correct? The movie that was basically Dark Superman, but Superman, but he was like evil, but it was just Superman. It was just basically a Superman movie.
Well, you guys research that. My other thing with it is because the other thing was like, I don't want another. I'm tired of superhero origin stories, right? I don't care. This is how they got their powers. Speed up, faster. You all own streaming services. Do a 15-minute small episode and put it there for people who don't know this thing, and then let the movie just start. Let the universe start. I wish they would write it like when they're restarting everything, but start with the Justice League intact. Either it's getting ready to form, but all the people are introducing, they know they exist. You write like they know them exist. Just like almost like how the CW writes it as they know there are other heroes and people are out there, but they can't mention them or talk to them. Cool, just do it that way, you know? Like even the freaking Arrowverse at one time was like, crap, there's magic. Let's get Constantine. Calls him up. He's in effing hell. Okay, get Constantine. Okay, you know, I can understand stuff like that. You know, but I don't want to like. It's not trying to tell me that we're rebooting Superman, which is okay. All right, rebooting. You get a different actor, younger. Okay, I understand that. I can get behind this, but it's not an origin story. But he hasn't met Lois Lane yet. He's still working for the Daily Planet, which is Daily Planet like a blog? It's like, you know, it's like Tim Pool's show. What, you know, come on, it's definitely not a newspaper. Okay, all right.
Well,
it can't be like CNN, right? Oh, because JJ, it's basically like The Blaze. Okay, it's basically a podcast. Okay,
well, they did make it a podcast in the Spider-Man games, which was honestly some of the best parts of the Spider-Man games. We're just swinging around, and JJ is just like, listen here, you know, the Mr. Negative is doing this thing, but it's really Spider-Man's fault anyway. Like, yeah, Mr. Negative is bad, but it's because of Spider-Man that we don't have any credibility to take care of these people.
Yeah, but in like Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they tried to do something like that when they did the Hydra flip, and they had a guy who was basically 24/7 Alex Jones, just propaganda for Hydra at the time, and it was interesting to see how they developed that. Yeah, it was really good.
I couldn't suffer that terrible show that long.
So good.
That is rough.
The fourth season of that episode, that show. TV perfection.
Wow. Hot take. Reinhold. Oh, right.
Reinhold also openly said that it's like one of his favorite shows from Marvel in general. So, I mean, that's his opinion on that is basically because he really likes it. It's the best of something that he liked.
I'm not the only person who says that.
Of course not. I'm not saying that you're wrong.
There's a group, a reacting group called Blind Wave. They got started. They started watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Near the end of that fourth season, he basically turns to the camera and says, if anybody says this isn't the best TV on right now, I will fight you. And then it did a fight thing.
Which is fair. I haven't seen it.
I'll fight anybody right now. If they could have told me Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is good, I'll fight you.
It got really good.
If you want to fight,
the first two seasons, I will give you the first two seasons had issues. But that fourth season was perfect.
I gotta guess. So you really should watch anime. If you get through four seasons before it's good, you should probably watch
it. I enjoyed it for you, Reinhold.
I enjoyed it before because I understood what it was. And I got it, and I was cool with it. It was fun to watch. It was like a fun candy bar. But they started serving steak in the fourth season.
It was not a candy bar.
Oh, man, Reinhold, if that's how you feel. Like, I have a show called Attack on Titan where the first like two seasons are trash. The third one's really good. And the fourth one, everybody's like, this is the best thing in anime ever. And now they have the final season, part three, which doesn't make any goddamn sense, in my opinion.
I will watch show. I mean, think about Supernatural. The first two or three seasons of Supernatural weren't the greatest.
It was okay.
They hadn't found their footing. Hadn't figured out what the show was about until the second season.
It was different.
Right.
It
became great.
Yeah. It was no Agents of the S.H.I.E.L.D. bad. Agents of the S.H.I.E.L.D. was just I forced myself to
disagree.
I
think you were just in the wrong mind space when you saw it.
What mind space should I have been in? Expecting to be entertained?
No, just a mind space of, hey, this is a nice little... Because what they were trying to do the first two seasons of that show were to take all the Marvel movies and kind of show you what's going on in the background behind those movies.
That would have been awesome if they did that.
That's what they were trying to do.
They should do
that. But they were hampered by a lot of the things that were going on with the movies at the time. Like they had to wait to do a reveal until the movie hit. Then that week is when they had the impact of it happening on the show, and they had to do stuff after that. So
poor timing of episodes. So what you're saying, it could have been better if this was on, if they had Disney Plus back then and could control the release schedule better.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I will give you that only because Fox is a piece of shit and fucks up shit like that. And Disney fucks up anime and Netflix too. You're not getting away from this, Netflix.
But
y'all suck.
I will say I am not one to slog through something that I don't enjoy until it gets good. You should watch Attack on Titan. It gets good at season three.
It depends on how bad of a slog it is. It's like with Supernatural. It wasn't a slog. It was a fun little show.
Yeah.
But it wasn't what it was going to eventually be. You know. There's just a lot of shows like that where they start out rough, but they find their groove later. And the question is can you enjoy what it is at the beginning with the idea that, oh, this might get better. I can see where they're kind of going with this thing. I'll give it a chance. Or is it just this is terrible. I can't stand watching it. I don't even know why I'm watching it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I could, like, I think a lot of it also, I couldn't get over, as we just jump into Agents of the Shield bashing here real quick. I couldn't get over the, what is it? Sky was the goofy hacker person, girl that is the key to everything, main character, who had ProTech hair.
Oh, you bet. Yeah.
I couldn't get over her character and her bad O set. We're Legion. Da, 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 da. Oh, we found you on here. Oh, we've got, oh, my password is locked by GPS. It's like, you're fucking Shield. You can't.
Yeah, but once she became the superhero that she was,
you can't
intended to be.
No, we're Shield. Your passcode is based off of GPS. Yeah, cool. We run that website. We run this, the GPS satellites. They're just up there. Hold on. We are what we say we are.
Her hacker thing was quickly abandoned in the second season. Because yes, they had trajectory for her, and they couldn't get to that trajectory until the idea of mutants, which aren't mutants.
You mean the Inhumans?
Something the Inhumans had to become a thing in Marvel for it to be introduced in the show, and that's the timing thing I was talking about.
Because it was trash.
I love the Inhumans. There's that one guy who, if he spoke, could just destroy people. Where's that guy at?
Oh wait, they got rid of his mouth. Never mind.
Oh, we'll talk about that later. Damn.
No, but they have
Where's that dog? Where's that big dog fit?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had a lot of great Inhumans on the show.
But where's the dog fit?
It came in and out. The dog?
Lockjaw?
Yeah.
Who's originally a human? Because comics. But anyway.
And what they did, though, in the show is they did try to explain where Inhumans came from, and that was genetic engineering by the Kree.
Yeah, of course, because that's how it...
The alien transcribing inside the DNA stream.
But the issue was is that they tried to use the Inhumans to replace mutants, and they never caught on because there's like two noticeable Inhumans, and we just brought them both up. Except for like Medusa, because she has hair that she can control. Yeah. And those Quake, are the ones...
A lot of people know Quake.
Because of S.H.I.E.L.D.
She wasn't in the movies, but she was in Quake.
But if I told you to name three Inhumans, you'd probably go Medusa, Black Bolt, and the dog. and then I go, all right, name three more, and then you go like Quake, and then
just that one guy,
the guy that is I don't know, man. I don't know.
Remember that guy that could do the thing?
Yeah. I know Inhumans because that's because I know comic books, and I would be like, oh well, there's the dude that's really good at who is really good at strategies, and his whole thing is that he's a tactician, and it made his mind better because of the Terrigen Mist and all this other shit, and of course Kamala Khan, which they changed in the shows. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, just to say, Marvel failed in not taking that version of Ghost Rider that they had in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and giving him a movie right then.
Okay.
They fucked up.
That, I will give you that. The Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it was slightly better than Nicolas Cage's version.
Only slightly better.
I give it like 1%.
The effects of him turning into beautiful. It was so good.
1% better than Nicolas Cage. Bobby Reyes
was 10 times better.
1% better than Nicolas Cage. 1%. Just 1%.
But
you have to understand how good Nicolas Cage was.
But going back to DC. You
remember, Ghost Rider was my growing up. Trust me, I had episode. I had issue one when it first came out. That was my that was my jam.
Nicolas Cage gets that bump that he'll just keep working as long as the checks keep coming. And it doesn't matter how big the checks are. He'll just keep coming in. I don't know why Disney never signed him much, because he would just keep showing up. He would be in everything. All right? Like Ghost Rider should have been.
Well, what gets me is that
he would have been a She-Hulk. Nicolas Cage would have been a She-Hulk.
Robbie Reyes was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He was doing a great version of Ghost Rider. They showed how it went from Johnny Blaze to him. Mm-hmm. They covered that. It was great. Mm-hmm. And now they're talking about doing Ghost Rider again. It's like, well, we're not going to bring Robbie Reyes in and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, why not?
Because they're trying to go with... They're trying to go with what's in the comic books, because that's the thing, is that
Robbie Reyes is in the comic books.
I know, but he's not the current ghostwriter. He's not the current ghostwriter. Danny Ketch is the current ghostwriter, and his whole thing is he could turn anything into a ghostwriter because comic books are stupid. He's like, oh yeah, this eternal body that we're having the Avengers work out of, he possesses it and turns it into a ghostwriter. It's so stupid.
Oh man.
So here's the thing. All right, I've got to say this. The reason why DC has the problems that it has is evidenced in this podcast. What? We came on here to talk about DC and how DC was doing what it was doing and what its failures were and what its things were. What did we end up talking about?
How trash Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is, because you brought up Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and you had to know how wrong you are. Stuff.
Anyway, we were talking about Marvel before I said anything about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You guys start talking about Marvel because that's where all the interesting stuff is happening at.
It's not interesting anymore, okay? It's not interesting. We're talking about old IPs that are close to 10 years old. But let's talk about DC. Let's talk about trash it is. I'm tired. I don't want to see Martha's Pearl, Shadow of the Girls. We don't find out that,
Why did you say that name? Why did you say that name?
I don't want to watch this love story sprout between Superman and Lois Lane. I ain't got time for that. I've seen it. I've got three other Supermans doing this, okay? You know, what is like, I've got one with Dean Cain's Superman had did a better jump off of this. Yeah, Dean Cain, right? Dean Cain? Right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, Dean Cain was.
Yeah. It's like, can we just have them be a couple, be a thing? I don't. Cool. They can be under their 30s. Fine. Just let them be a thing and go on. Okay.
Just take Gotham and continue on from there, from the end of Gotham. Use those characters because they won't do that. They developed. They've got older.
I'll be fine with that. They should do that. I'll be fine with that.
The thing is, like, they want to bring all these characters in. They have a Superman prequel TV show. It's called Smallville. Smallville for a long time, and it was a show that was about a young Superman. We've had seasons upon seasons of young Superman.
Also, Smallville gave us the Dukes of Hazzard reunion we all wanted.
And even in Smallville, they actually were pulled in more obscure characters. Booster Gold was in Smallville.
Right, Booster freaking Gold.
And Booster Gold was in Smallville. God.
I've been like, all right, so the one thing like Vincent and I already talk about is that how DC misses out by not doing more stuff with Booster Gold and The Question. All right,
and Blue Beetle, Booster Gold, and Blue Beetle,
and Booster Gold, Blue Beetle, right? Because like this is deep lore for most people, but they can do almost everything they want to do with these type of characters. If you want to have like a show explaining what the heck is going on and how things are connected, boom, you have The Question right there. You know, you want to have some over the top, you know, bombastic thing that are going on over the top. Boom, freaking Booster Gold.
You have a guy who literally comes from the future with a suit that is the only reason he's a hero is because he stole a suit from the future and came back into the past. And that's the only reason he's a superhero. And half the time he just dicks around with Blue Beetle, the original Blue Beetle, Ted Kord. They just dick around. There's literally a whole comic, there's a whole issue of the comic where they steal Martian Manhunter's Oreos.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on a rampage to get his Oreos back.
Oh, man.
And there are plenty of deeper cut characters that are more like secondary characters in DC that never get a screen time because they keep trying to reboot the series over and over and over again. We've had five different Batman in what, 10 years?
What's the Keaton?
I said 10 years.
Keaton's 10 years. Sorry.
The last 10 years. So we
Affleck.
Had Affleck. We had the Robert Pattinson.
Pattinson.
We had
the terrible
Christian
one.
Bale.
Yeah, the terrible one.
Christian Bale.
Mm-hmm.
We've had already three different super Batman, but not counting the TV shows, which technically aren't the same continuity. So we had the Batman in in the Arrowverse and then Gotham, where they technically had Batman, but not they didn't really show a lot of Batman. It was more set in their universe. And then we're not talking about Harley Quinn, which also has its own Batman. So you're under, and then you have the animated stuff, which aren't in the same continuity as anything else, but they also have their own versions of Batman, which are usually more interesting. That's that's where things become a mess.
The Harley Quinn show proves that you don't need origin stories. You could just pull people in and just let go. Let them explain, find out, let the people find out. Freaking the Harley Quinn show brings in so much like obscure lore sometimes that you have to know who the heck this person is or find out, like, or they'll just explain it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, Dr. Psycho.
What I think they should do, well, I would like to do is take the already established stuff they've been doing on the CW, put those people into a film, just continuing on, and then have them encounter these new, this new Superman, this new Batman, and then spin off those movies from it.
They would, instead but they've already introduced those characters in their own little universe. They literally have Supergirl and a Superman that shows up in the Supergirl show. So that it would be interesting for them to have these shows.
It could just be a different actor. It doesn't have to be.
And they have a, they actually have a Justice League building, unlike most of the Justice League. I don't know if you've seen that episode in the CW where they actually have the old school Justice League building, which
the Hall of Justice.
Yeah, it was the Hall of Justice. It was the Hall of Justice, and apparently it was on the Star Labs, like buildings, like on their payroll, like they had that they didn't know they had, which was neat. It sounded like something Star Labs would do. Like, oh yeah, we technically own this thing.
There's just too much going on in DC and too many hands fighting control, and they're changing every so often because that's, and they're losing. It's like they were going to bring, they were going to make a new Constantine movie using the guy who played in the show and who had his own TV show for a while. It was really good. And then, oh no, wait, let's go ahead and bring, you know, Keanu Reeves back in and do a Constantine sequel and kick the other guy to the curb.
It's that's what I mean. That DC has, again, that's why I call it, they have an identity crisis, just like in the comics. There's, they have no set identity. And every time they try to do something, everything is different, no matter where you're looking.
They need an overriding architect of the universe. Right. And I think that they realize that, which is why they got James Gunn. Whether he can deliver on it is a whole different story.
But they're doing it for the movie universe. But they're also going to have to, if he's going to build it from the ground up, you're going to have to reintroduce all these characters you've already seen before again. So you have to, he has to do something different. If he's going to put Batman in it, but not have Robert Pattinson's the Batman in his universe, then what do you do? Now you have two different Batman movies coming out that aren't connected.
Well, you do what they did with Spider-Man. You just,
different years apart.
They all come together, bloom, 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 and then go away.
But that's the thing is that, I would agree, but it's not more of, imagine if they did that, but they did the Sam Raimi Spider-Man, Spider-Man 2 of Sam Raimi came out, and then the next year, Amazing Spider-Man came out. And then they weren't connected at all. But you still had two different Spider-Man movies happening at the same time, and then you have, you still have Spider-Man 3 coming out while Amazing Spider-Man is there, and it doesn't connect. That's what I'm saying, is that if, unless...
Well, they're going to put an end to that. They've got to, with an overriding director of that universe, they have to put an end to all of that nonsense that's going on.
Yeah, but that, but he also said that he wasn't going to integrate the the Batman stuff into what he was doing.
Right.
So that means that they, if they're going to use Batman, now they have two different kinds of Batman going.
And there's a Joker sequel coming.
Yeah, and Joker movie. So it's like, There's so many hands in different pots that there's nothing holding it together. And if they want to make a massive connected universe, then they're going to have to pull in these non-connected things together. But he doesn't want to do that. He said that he doesn't want to do that.
Yeah.
He wants to let that atrophy off and die, is what he's trying to say, right?
Sort of, but the but the Batman, people really liked that movie. People enjoyed Robert Pattinson as, Bruce Wayne, and there was enough of people who enjoyed
good Batman. He was a good Batman. He was a lot better than Christian Bale.
But they, I mean, he canceled the Batgirl movie, didn't they?
I mean, that was before he took over.
And that was brand damaging. Okay.
Yeah. But it was partially
also because they knew they had to get a hold of this and bring in somebody in, and part of the negotiation was that.
I mean, it could be, but that's behind the scenes stuff we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. Yeah, what we know is that it was labeled brand damaging.
That and the Scoob movie sequel. Those two movies were so brand damaging that they got rid of them. Mm-hmm. That's not a joke.
Yeah, that's what it was labeled as. It's like, okay, how bad can this be?
But it's...
We don't know. We can stipulate.
I wonder if one day we'll see it.
No.
Somebody bootlegs it out or gets a copy somewhere.
I want to see it. I hope it comes out.
I mean, the original unaired Doctor Who was released.
Yeah. I miss that we're not getting Batman Beyond. We've got Keaton in a bat suit, and we're not getting Batman Beyond. That makes me angry.
There was talk about this bringing Keaton back to do Batman, and now they're abandoning it, aren't they?
Because he came back in the Batgirl movie.
Mm-hmm.
That was the whole thing. He was the coming back in the Batgirl movie.
Yep. So Val Kilmer, Batman Beyond. Okay. Next
time. Well, Michael Keaton really needs to be back in the Batman just for the Batman older, Batman mm-hmm. Beyond type.
Yes. That's what they need. Yeah.
That character. Yeah. They need to do that somewhere.
Yes.
Even if it's not part of the universe, it's a side thing.
Get Tim Burton back.
When you saw him in Birdman, you had to know that had to happen. Yeah. He should have been Batman.
Yeah. But yeah, get Tim Burton back. Okay. All right. Tell him to come on. Put Wednesday down. Put Wednesday down. Pick Batman back up.
He can do both. See, here's the thing. He kind of ruined his brand for a while.
I mean, he's
back on brand now with Wednesday.
Tim Burton's always been on top.
There's a lot of people who are like, Tim Burton's done after some of the last, like Corpse Bride and some of the past beyond that.
Tim Burton's always
Frank and Weenie.
What really got it was the Alice in Wonderland movies. That's what really tainted his stuff.
Line in the sand, he's done.
It was both of those movies.
And now he's back.
No. Tim Burton's always been okay. Okay.
All right. he's got Danny Elfman working with him on Wednesday. He's good to go. He can bring him into a movie.
Never down. He can talk.
Tim Burton, talk to Michael Keaton, make it happen.
I know. Let's
everybody loves working for Tim Burton. Everybody who works for him loves working for him.
Man, think about it. Like, we could, you get Michael Keaton, you get Tim Burton do it, right? That means we could get old Nightwing with Johnny Depp.
Bring back Jack Nicholson as the Joker just for fun.
Oh God, that'd be
Jack Napier. Napier come back.
Oh, right old. Yes.
What it sounds like you guys want them to just do the Dark Knight Rises or the Dark Knight Returns is what that sounds like. If Michael Keaton do that.
No. I want Batman Beyond.
There was the comic book that was the old Batman who had retired and came back.
Batman Returns. Batman Beyond was Terry McGinnis and the young kid that was Batman. Batman Returns is old Batman comes in.
Yeah, old Batman. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, they should do that.
They're both old Batman in that.
Because that's what revived the whole Batman thought process. Because Batman was over until Batman Returns came back.
Yeah, that is true.
And that re-energized interest in the grittier Batman that wasn't really going on before it.
I don't want gritty Batman. I don't want that. No.
But by gritty, we mean I'm talking more like what Michael Keaton did with it.
All right, that's fine.
It was darker. It was gothier. It wasn't.
DC
Aquaman's done.
Superman, Batman. No, but Aquaman's done. No, I want Batman Beyond.
Spider-Man's not DC.
I think what DC needs is the simple fact that you're right. They need an overarching architect, and they need someone that is not an individual contributor, but an architect. And I think, to me personally, I think James Gunn. I haven't really seen him. He hasn't really think of building a universe, right? Now, if he's got someone in his ear that helps him build a universe, because like even like people who have built universes have struggled, like Favreau struggled Josh Whedon struggled, but they made, you know, but, you know, they were also having more leeway. This is a lot more money, a lot more things, a lot of moving parts into it. And the idea of giving it to
a
this
lot more pressure on his shoulders, too, because DC needs to have this happen this time. They can't have another flub or failure.
But they need, what they should do, right, is use the Flash as the center point of the DC universe going forward. Like, everything moves, find a Flash, pick your Flash, and just move to it. I suggest getting some older dude, you know, the original speedster, and have him run to universe and have everything. Like, he's trying to fix things, right? I gotta fix the timeline. I've gotta fix the timeline.
I think one of the big things that that DC has trouble with is that they're trying to rush something that takes time, right? When you look at phase one of the MCU, right? Let's go back to phase one of the MCU. Each of those movies were self-contained. They really didn't have a lot of connection to each other. That they were, yes, they were building to the Avengers, but each had their own individual story that they were telling that origin were focused stories on their characters. Yeah, they were origin stories, but it was more
origins we've never had before.
Yeah, exactly. They're characters we haven't seen before, because Iron Man was what never had been in movies. Like, all these characters were like their very first, except for like Hulk, their first big movies.
But then
these characters we hadn't seen before, right?
Yeah.
So if they really want to do this, especially if they don't want to do origin stories, or if they're forcing themselves to do origin stories, because knowing them, they're going to try to force like a pseudo origin story, kind of like what they did with Spider-Man Homecoming, where they didn't show Uncle Ben dying and they didn't show that kind of stuff, but they like kind of touched on it and referenced it without going full-fledged into that being the thing, is that each of the movies should be about the characters themselves instead of trying to connect them into something bigger. Because that's like almost all the movies they do try to connect to something bigger too fast. Because you had Superman and then Batman versus Superman. There was no build to it. It was just Superman movie and then Batman versus Superman. We're just going to throw them in there. We're going to make them make this universe happen. Oh, and then Wonder Woman also shows up because we want her here. And we're also going to put in one of the biggest bads, Doomsday, because we want him here. And it's just like, you guys are rushing this too much. Like, you want to do
it. Oh, they added Lex Luthor, too. That was the thing.
Exactly.
When you throw Lex Luthor in at the same time.
And they're just rushing all these things so fast because they want to try to catch up to the MCU.
Yeah.
Because that's what's the big cataclysmic.
I think it would be a fun billionaire show with like Lex Luthor, Oliver Queen, and Bruce Wayne hanging out talking about things. I think this would be a fun billionaire show.
What you do is you convince Ryan Reynolds to put back on the Green Lantern outfit one time to do Crisis of Infinite Earth and reboot everything.
Well, I mean, they probably
because Hal Jordan was the protagonist in that, the Crisis of Infinite Earth. This was back in the 90s, 80s.
90s. Yeah, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Like, I get that, and I totally understand that. But my issue, I think the best thing for them to do is to start with movies that are just about the characters. Because that's the issue, is that they're rushing these things. So, like, these characters need to it needs to be a movie that's based on the characters that has their own theme and feel for each character.
Yep.
And they don't need a crossover. They don't need to connect to anything else. You just need a movie for that character.
Correct.
Like, I would love a movie that is either a buddy cop or a crime procedural for the Green Lantern Corps.
Oh, that'd be good.
You give me a Kyle Rayner is investigating a crime on a different planet, and that's how you introduce the different colored rings and a lot of the other Green Lantern things. Because now you have a police procedural, because they're the police of the space.
Yep.
You know how? So now you have a self-contained Green Lantern story that is in space. That now you can learn some of the space culture that aren't connected to stuff. Kind of like what they did with Guardians of the Galaxy. Because when Guardians came out, it wasn't connected to all the stuff on Earth. This is what you're learning about in space. And they just go through that in that kind of way where you, where each movie has its own feel to it. And if they come together, it's more authentic that they come together because, well, now we understand how this character feels. And I want to see how this version of Barry Allen connects with this version of Kyle Rayner.
But see, what they did with the Guardians of the Galaxy is they did still tie it into what was happening in their Thanos thing.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So do we talk about doing these individuals like you're talking about, but tie them into a big bad that you choose, like it's Darkseid or something, you know, and then have them chasing down that at the same time, and that's how they meet in a later movie like the Avengers did.
Yeah. It could just be subtle connections to it.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't think it should be Darkseid the first big go around. I think, yeah. You know, that's
throwing him out as a name. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Because Darkseid's a heavy hitter, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Here's what if I was going to theory craft a DC universe, I would have movies that are in particular.
Orange Lantern Corps is still the best.
Each movie will have their own in particular character that they're focused on, and it has hints to what this massive event's going to be. Or you have small connections to what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And with someone like James Gunn, you can do that.
Right.
Because you have an overriding architect. And that's, I think, what was missing the last 20 years of DC movies.
And I agree. Again, like, I don't know. I haven't seen him build it. So I'm going to be cautiously optimistic on how he's going to make things work. But it also depends on the writers they get to write the movies and the characters they're going to use. Because I would much rather see, you know, if we're going to do a Batman story, we do a gritty detective actual detective story where Batman's being a detective, mm-hmm. compared to it being, you know, whatever
ninja.
Compared to it being angry and pissed off over things compared angry to
ninja show.
Or if they do a Superman movie, I want him to be the light and the positivity that he's supposed to be in the DC universe.
Yep.
He is the beacon of hope in the darkness. Mm-hmm. He is the alien that understands what being human means. Mm-hmm. And the fact that none of the movies can capture that part of Superman is frustrating. So I want a bright and shiny Superman movie.
Yeah.
And while we can still have a dark and kind of dingy Batman movie, I honestly want them to be a detective movie with Bruce Wayne and Tim Drake.
Ooh, that'd be good.
And it's like Batman and Robin are investigating, and the criminal can be one of the lesser or less important criminals. So it could be like Classic Penguin, mm-hmm. or somebody that is, or Two-Face, mm-hmm. Classic Two-Face, or mm-hmm. somebody that's already established as being like a crime lord without it having to be, oh my God, it's the Joker immediately.
Right.
Or, oh my God, it's Bane or whatever.
Yeah.
And if you take that detective and you make Tim Drake have a dog, a large dog who talked like this, ruh-roh, then that would work too, right? Sorry.
Terrible.
I just had this vision in my head.
And you're terrible. Yeah.
But yeah, it's
just, But you're talking about the reason why Wonder Woman works so well.
Right, the first Wonder Woman was really good because it was a period piece, mm-hmm. that was it was good up until the third act, because the third act they decided to shove it into being the superhero mold for no reason.
It was really good as a woman empowering movie where the protagonist woman ends up running off with a guy as her worth. So
I mean, that's how all the Wonder Woman stories are, to be fair. To be fair, but I mean, we don't want to go into classic Wonder Woman because that's a whole other can of worms.
Raise your hand if you would not have ran off with Wonder Woman.
I mean, you have a point. I would definitely run off with Wonder Woman if given the opportunity. But I mean, if we're going to talk about Wonder Woman, I mean, if we're going to talk about classic Wonder Woman, where she came from, you got to talk about the fact that originally the original writer like made her weakness bondage.
Best weakness.
And like her being tied up made her lose her powers.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah. So there's
it's science.
Classic Wonder Woman is a whole other can of worms, but it's one of those. It's more interesting to have individual movies about characters instead of forcing it into a big massive thing, and that each character should have. Yes, it should be a movie about a strong female character. You don't need to have a theme for it, Paul.
Oh man, it was.
I get where you're coming from.
But the Wonder Woman was good. I didn't want to watch it because I was never been a huge fan of Wonder Woman at all. You know, her characters just mean nothing to me.
Right. Like, if we're going to use,
not shocking to anybody.
Right. Just
all I knew really about her was Justice League, and I watched the old TV show too. So. Yeah. With the spin and the.
I didn't watch the TV show and really care too much for the Justice League.
I grew up watching that, and then watching Shazam, and then watching The Incredible Hulk. Those are my shows growing up. Yeah,
but it's them having. They need to understand that when you're making a shared universe, the most important thing is to make it about a character without forcing the connection to everything else.
Don't force the connection.
Right, and like that was one of the things that was why I wanted to talk about like superhero fatigue. Well, that's why I have it in the title, is that like currently in the Marvel stuff, I'm fatigued about watching it because they're trying to force everything together no matter what.
Yep.
Like the three Falcon and Winter Soldier, WandaVision, Loki, they're all connected to things that already happened and we're trying to make it so it's all important connections together. And then you also make WandaVision, which could have been a standalone movie. Now it's immediately connected to another mainline movie. And it's just like all these things are now forced to be connected to make, because they want it to all be connected.
Right.
And they kind of losing the concept of the natural growth of these things are coming together because these characters are doing their own standalone things. Even the movies that weren't like the best. You know, Ant-Man wasn't the best movie, but it was its own thing. It had its own situation. Like Scott Lang was being his own, doing his own thing over here.
Yeah, and you felt like it was in that same universe. Don't trust the Stark. Don't trust the Stark. Don't do like so. You like all right. It was in the same the universe. You could feel it, but they weren't like having to be like forced connection. And you're right, and that's what it is losing. It's just like you. Just write the movie so it can fit inside the universe. And the other one is stop writing plot lines that just screw over every writer and director that comes after you. I think that happens a lot too. It's just like, and we do this, and then we're going to kill this amazing villain.
Yeah, they did that a lot because they're trying to show the high stakes early on. That's one of the biggest flaws of the MCU is they killed like a lot of villains.
Like what Marvel did to Deadpool in the Wolverine Origins movie that never happened, and we're not going to talk about.
Well, Fox did to Deadpool.
That was Fox, Marvel.
But the timeline was corrected.
Yeah, and Deadpool fixed
the timeline. He's eventually corrected.
They killed off so many villains
like for Mandarin. No reason.
And Mandarin picked me up because that's a great villain. It's like, this is what you do with Mandarin. This is what you do with the Mandarin.
Right, they killed off Red Skull no matter what they did with it. They killed off Claw. They killed off Claw.
Fucking Red Skull. What are you going to do with Red Skull? He's just sitting there menacingly.
They killed off Claw in
sitting on a
in Black Panther.
Right, quick. Like, what's like 10 minutes into the movie?
They showed him in Age of Ultron, but they killed him off. You know, they've basically got rid of Ultron.
Yep.
Even though that's a massive character that constantly is around for a long time. They just kind of slowly but surely picked off all of these interesting villains, and now they're going to have to introduce the ones that they didn't have before.
Scrape that barrel.
It's the ones they didn't have before. So now they're going to, probably the main villains are going to be Doom and Magneto.
Now, Doom.
They didn't have them before.
Doom would be a good overarching team.
Which would be fine. But right now, actually, no, that's wrong. They're doing Kang now. That's who their main villain is right now is going to be, Kane the Conqueror. Yeah. But they
he
also
was good was in the like, comics too. He spread across
He's done a lot of stuff. But he's also had times where he's like the younger version of himself is a good guy, and a bunch of other nonsense with Kane.
We've already seen one of the versions of him that was a pretty good guy in Loki. But
call me when it's Doom all along. Okay, all right.
which I would agree with. Doom did try to purposely screw over Kane the Conqueror whenever he wanted. Like when it was what was it? Secret Wars, the original Secret Wars. Him and Kang were just on a ship, and he's like, "I want the Beyonder's power." Kang, go fuck himself, because that's what Doctor Doom does. Yeah. But it's more of like you killed off Thanos, and even then while they did a great job with Thanos. Thanos was, and they basically gave him his whole own movie with Infinity War. Mm-hmm. They killed him off, so he's gone. They killed him off twice, technically. You know, I'm hopefully optimistic what they do with Adam Warlock in Guardians 3, but we'll happens.
Has anybody ever sat down and thought about the paradox that was created by the end of Thanos?
The end of game, how like how everything is. I mean, that's. I feel like that they were trying to approach dealing with that with Loki because he himself is a paradox, and they tried to try to fix the paradox stuff with the
time. Yeah, but if they wipe the timeline. Then none of the stuff in Endgame happened, and all half the universe is still gone. And I know that they said
the timeline that Thanos came from,
but they did say in Loki that what they did was supposed to happen, or meant to happen, or whatever. But if it's meant to happen, then it happens. Then they've killed 2014 Thanos, who can't collect the stones, and then snap to begin with to set them on the path to go do that.
All right, so if the Eternals are on the Earth and they need humans there so it could sacrifice it, wouldn't killing half of them, you know, make the Eternals want to fight Thanos?
He has a point there, too. The Eternals would have showed up because you know that they're there. But, like,
because they're there.
Didn't they have an explanation of why they didn't do anything during the whole Thanos thing? I thought that was, like, mentioned in the movie.
Oh, it's because they didn't, they don't want to interact in human affairs. But your goal is to breed humans to get to a population. Dope. I give you a 15-minute YouTube video. I'll try to dent it down for you. That's all you need.
It's me. But it's there's a lot of things that they're trying to push forward to because they want to.
They pulled one out of the bum. Yes. Yes, they pulled one out of the bum. But no, yeah, I can see it. Yeah, so the superhero fatigue for me is the over-the-topness. Like, when they actually have a grounded character that are there, I still get this massive CGI, like Shang-Chi, right? Shang-Chi should have been this amazing martial arts movie, and it should have got me hyped. But instead, it's the same Marvel, over-the-topness, over-the-top CGI fest, and then since Disney's have it, there's no broken bones, there's no blood. You know, it's like if... The problem with Shang-Chi is that it came after the movie Nobody, and we just saw a movie of somebody fighting on a bus, and there's blood, broken bones, and there ain't none of this in this. You know, that's the other problem is Disney's holding the reins to everything, so we're not getting guns and gunshots. People are being hurt. You know, I think the Netflix Disney universe, Marvel universe shows that like the Punisher cannot exist in this Disney-fied crap also.
Ended back up on Marvel, too, by the way. Just like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. We're talking about hero fatigue now. But yeah, that's hero fatigue. That's for a reason.
Yeah.
Because
well, I was going to say...
go for it.
Well, I was just going to pull it back to DC just a minute for a small, funny little moment and ask, who do you think should play the Wonder Twins?
Honestly, Olivia Munn and...
Olivia Munn. Now we're talking.
And Kevin Pereira. Kevin Pereira. Oh, you're the worst. I knew exactly where you were going.
I like it. Yes. I like the Olivia Munn in anything. Wonder Trust me.
Twins of all time.
Olivia Munn could read the news to me, I would be happy.
The issue is that for me, I don't, because I'm not into watching a lot of movies right now. I don't know a lot of popular actors or younger, especially younger actors that would fit into the concept of being Wonder Twins, because you would want younger actors to do this. There's a lot of that kind of thing. There's like, if somebody goes, tell me who you think would be a good Wolverine, I don't know what to tell you. Because if you want a good Wolverine, you need somebody who's probably in their mid-20s, and early 30s, because you want them to be around long enough for you to keep putting him into movies without it being
looking older. Yeah.
Without looking older until you want to jump to the him being old or dying or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I don't know who to cast for that, because I'm not that in tune with actors and movies.
They got a cast for Wednesday they could grab from there, and they just throw them into the Wonder Twins.
No, we're I'm also hoping Tim Burton gets the chance to make an Adam's cinematic universe. I'm hoping we get two more seasons. We get two.
I don't apologize, Escalja. I don't apologize.
We get 2 to 6 more seasons of Wednesday. We get a Pugsley episode, and I could really go for a silent lurch show. Okay, just a silent lurch show would be great.
Just yes, people say you're right. So.
Shut up, Escalja. We're not going to talk about that till we do that media episode, Escalja.
Let's see. Yeah, you're.
And again, another problem with the end of Endgame.
Yep.
When they do the thing and they get rid of all the people who came from 2014 and they all go to dust, why does Gamora stick around so she could be in the freaking stupid Guardians of the Galaxy 3? Well, why wasn't she dusted?
Exactly. But it's. There's a lot of the thing. There's a lot of the logic loops in, and a lot of those movies. You just have to go, well, okay.
Because Tony Stark's getting ready to go. Oh, I better save Gamora. Okay, then
it's
move. Okay, up, down, left, right.
There's enough of that. But like, there's so much. The other issue I feel like is that a lot of people want to force cinematic universes. It's slowed down a lot now, but there was a lot of times we were like, we need this to be a universe of something. As remember the Mummy reboot that they introduced?
They were trying to hold Dark DC.
Yes, exactly. They're trying to do a
build on the first
Dark Universal movie.
They had all these movies lined up, ready to go, and then the first movie came out and was so bad. Yes. It was literally franchise killing,
yes,
like we're saying about Batgirl. That was that.
Yeah, see, literally, they was able to make a bridge universe of like Tomb Raider and what's that other person with the Tom Holland and what's his name?
Nathan Drake.
Yeah, Nathan Drake guy.
The Uncharted.
Yeah, Uncharted. Do a universe of just them type of one.
Those adventure kind of things would be interesting, but they try too much to try to make it. You guys remember when they decided to try to make a Valiant comic book universe when they released Bloodshot starring Vin Diesel, which went nowhere and died because the movie was not very good. They try that a lot. It's the concept of forcing shared universes is frustrating because they did it with so many things. Because even now, like, technically, they're trying to do a Ghostbusters universe with the new Ghostbusters movie, but like just make in at this point, just make that movies of things you care about.
That hurts, right?
They had a Ghostbuster universe with the comics, with the cartoon.
Yeah,
they had a
I whole. I thought I was going to say 2016. That was great. Just jet him, just jet him right out.
The cartoon, man. That's when they had Slimer.
Have you played the video game? Oh god! Like
the first person one that was actually really good, where you were basically playing an actual Ghostbuster.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You play the new recruit, the not Ghostbusters 3 3 video game. Oh yeah,
yeah.
Ryan, have you played it?
No, I haven't played it. I didn't know about it.
Oh, we'll send it to you and Steve. You can look at this thing. It's it's got the original cast voice acting in it, right? Well, okay, I would imagine Walter Peck even involves. You get Walter Peck. Walter Peck is back.
Yeah, they brought all the original voice actors back, and you're playing this recruit. But it's a really good one.
Walter Peck gets his revenge on Venkman.
By the way, Christy, I haven't seen the Uncharted movie. I've played some of the games. But the
Uncharted movie? It's good.
Chris says it's good.
It's good. It's good. The only issue is Tom Holland. It just doesn't feel like Nathan
Drake. I also heard Mark Wahlberg just plays himself.
He does. It'd have been a great...
Well, I heard that a lot of people were trying to get Nathan Fillion to play Nathan Drake.
They did. Did you not see
10 years ago? That'd have been great.
Did you not see that short film they did on YouTube where he was Nathan Drake? They did a short. Well,
they took it from other TV shows and stuck him in to make it look like a trailer or something like that.
Yeah. Cool. I think he actually filmed it. I don't remember, but yeah, they did a thing with him as like when he was fresh out of Firefly, he'd be a great Nathan Drake. He'd be perfect. That's the issue. That's the other issue about movies is that no matter how great actor is in the role, eventually they're going to get too old to do it. Right. You know, Patrick Stewart is a perfect Professor X. Mm-hmm. Every time they have him, but he is exactly what I would imagine Professor X to be. But eventually, he's going to age out of it. And eventually it's going to be impossible for him to, you know, be able to do it. Same with like them having the casting for Magneto and Charles Xavier and those X-Men movies were perfect. Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart was perfect.
Yes. They could bring Nathan Fillion into the universe if they did Dr. Horrible's Sing Along Blog 2 to the sequel. Harry's just like, what are you talking about?
I know what you're talking about, but like, I don't know if I want to. I don't want a sequel.
I really don't.
You don't want a sequel?
I don't. I know. Dr. Horrible. Unless the villain is John Barrowman, okay?
Well, that we're talking. John Barrowman and Nathan Fillion playing against each other.
Singing.
Oh,
and Neil Patrick Harris.
Narrating.
Oh, music. Oh, music.
Oh, Neil Patrick Harris and Morgan Freeman narrating against each other with Nathan Fillion and John Barrowman. That would be good. Yeah. I'm all for that. Make that happen. Somebody.
Yeah,
the superhero movies have gotten to this point where they're trying really hard to capture the magic of what that first big arc of the MCU was.
Yeah.
And because a lot of the characters died and a lot of the characters' stories have ended, they're trying to
I think the shows are actually more entertaining than some of the later movies are. Like WandaVision was very unique and very good. Loki, very good. Hilarious, fun. You know, the Werewolf at Night, Guardians of the Galaxy's the Christmas special. Mm-hmm. Perfect show.
Well, I haven't seen Werewolf by Night. I feel like that's exactly what I mean. It's a movie that's standalone with its own character that even if it has some connection to the outside world, it's meant to be this thing by itself.
Okay.
And while it can connect to other things, it's uniquely Werewolf by Night.
But just like WandaVision was basically her story of what happened to her, it was still within the larger universe. It's still tied into things that happened, but it was limited to her and Vision and the new, you know, Rambo character.
My issue with WandaVision was there was way, way too much Darcy for that movie, for that show. That was my issue. Is that there was way too much of that. She was in like
20 minutes of it.
No, she wasn't. She was the main crux of the outside of the world things.
Just for a little bit. I mean, not really. Agatha's the one that stole that movie.
That show, I agree.
Catherine Hahn. She was wonderful. She's the one that was the big thing in that movie. I thought that Darcy was much more of just a bounce off to the Rambo character.
Yeah, but there was way too much. It spent way too much time with her outside of the Wanda bubble, in my opinion, because it was half the show for most of it. But that's just me. I feel like they spent
just the person who kind of figured out that it was a TV show, blah blah blah, and then she was pretty much done. She was kind of relegated to the side. I thought she had less too little time. I thought she needed to be in more.
No, I mean, she was more
like, not so much in more, but more, she had more to do.
I feel like they spent too much time with her, but that's just me. But that's more of I wanted like that.
Scott just says the early MCU had breadcrumbs. New movies gives you egg or flour or yeast, and you don't get anything unless you watch three other movies and mix it together. Honestly, I'm just still shocked that Marvel doesn't also do a comic book and a video game. But you know,
oh, because they don't care about the comic books yeah, and the video care. Games. They license those out. That's right. Why. That's yeah. why when yeah. Insomniac's gonna do this Wolverine game is gonna be awesome because it'd be rated M and Wolverine can just murder people.
Nice, awesome. All right, so yeah, so we've decided like some people do have some superhero fatigue. I think there's a lot of good stories to tell, but I feel like they're still standing the same one. So like the Marvel checklist is a real thing. You know, you've got to have massive CGI fight at the end, Skybeam, choreographed fights. And, we've got to kill some henchmen that you don't feel nothing about because
you do realize that they know that, right? Mm-hmm. That they're aware of it now because mm-hmm. they made fun of it. In S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah,
they just totally because, ripped yeah, themselves. I don't
just because they're aware of it of doesn't yeah, mean just, they're not going to do it.
They're
going to
keep doing it. They didn't do it for the end of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like S.H.I.E.L.D. ended differently.
There's a difference of being aware to it and executing it correctly. Like the CW, to me, the CW knew their formula with the Arrowverse and they just stuck with it.
But that's the other thing, right? Is that was the TV show. The movies, mm-hmm. almost every movie has ended with a big C. Even Wakanda Forever ended with a big CGI fight at the end. Like even though they know it's there, it doesn't change the fact that
I just love the fact that they were talking about these movies have a formula and it always ends up with this big fight. And they were saying everything that we're saying right now. And so they're aware of it. Now, whether, like I said, do they do anything about it or not, it's going to be fun. Yeah. But
The other issue, the big issue in general with the comic book stuff is because comic books in general as a physical medium reading it not have died down even more than they were when the MCU started. Mm-hmm. Because comic books are slowly and methodically lost ground over and over and over again, and people have stopped reading. I can like thinking of the last big Marvel event that anybody knows and cares about. The House of X, when they decided to make the mutants live on an island by themselves, and the last DC thing was Dark Knight's Death Metal, where it was the sequel to Dark Knight's Metal, and they decided to go, here, you guys like the alternate Batmans? Here's even more alternate Batmans that are dark, I guess, because it feels like comic books have lost a lot of ground, not just because the stories are so interconnected, but also when big things happen, nothing matters. Like we're doing this big crossover event that takes over all these books, and then it's over, and everything goes back to the status quo, and nobody wants to talk about it, and it affects like one character a little bit.
How much of that is because how generation of people who would normally go buy comic books are just watching the movies now and TV shows because they're getting that comic book stuff there. So why go to a comic book store, buy this thing, wait a month, get another thing. And I mean, I think them trying to put the media out on digital is helping, but it's not the same thing either. It's not easily done. You still have to jump through some hoops there and it's not.
The other thing, which is a thing that gets talked about a lot on with the comic YouTubers and stuff I watched, is how much manga has eaten into the comic book market. Because as stated, because there's a beginning, middle, and end, and they're self-contained, and everything that happens in it affects everything else in the stories, people are more drawn, at this point, they're more drawn to the mangas, because mangas have, like, 3 to 4 times outsold comic books at this point last year.
But do you think that's sales. Because the main driver behind buying those books are 13-year-old boys?
So nerds who buy comic books.
Nerds, but it's one of those, that's the issue is that comic books and manga are kind of the same market that they're looking for.
Right. And if you're a 13-year-old boy and you're looking at this comic book of characters that you can watch on Disney Plus, and you've got this book over here that's got all kinds of weird stuff going on in it that might titillate a 13-year-old boy.
But
which
I mean,
one do you gravitate to?
But I could also make that argument of there's an anime for that. They don't need to read the manga. They can just go watch the anime. It's the exact same argument. But
the
manga,
it's not as easy to get to the anime as it is. I mean, yeah, you can go to Crunchyroll or something like that, but you have to kind of go where to go get it. Whereas
Netflix has
Netflix.
Anime?
Netflix and Hulu.
I admit, I am not. I don't know where to get anime at. I'm not an anime guy. I'm just saying.
The show I forced Paul to watch yesterday, we watched it all on Hulu. All 26 episodes are on Hulu, and it was rated M, so it was an actual. They have all ages stuff on there.
And it wasn't a watch party. They all watched their individual accounts.
Jesus. But no, it's just as accessible as the MCU stuff. It's just more of the fact that manga is more self-contained and the consequences last. Because in comic books, you're paying $5 a month, or if not more, mm-hmm. for a story arc that in a year's time isn't going to matter.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Or they're going to reboot in 10 years.
Right. Okay. Or they shift the time scale and retcon everything and made it so that when Peter Parker was married, well, he's not married anymore. Or, yeah, that stuff that happened was a couple years ago.
I have to say that's part of the reason why I ended up getting out of comics.
Yeah.
Because I'm reading these, I'm going through all this stuff, Crisis Infinite Earth, we're going to fix the timelines, blah, 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 and we're going to start over with these, and we had a reboot, okay, it's fine. And you go to do it again, and then you go to do it again, and it's just like,
yeah, the reboots will continue.
This is the perfect, this reboot is perfect for me to stop.
Right.
Right. I'll read the end of the crossover, I'll find out what happened, and then I can walk away.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that's why manga eats into that kind of market, because it gives the people who want to read comic books. I want to hold a comic book and read a comic book in my hand, and I want everything I've read to matter. Don't worry, people who are watching this. Future Diary is the thing I'm going to talk about on our next media episode. So don't worry, we'll get into how bad and stupid it is.
Is Future Diary just DC and Marvel condensed?
Oh, it's stupider than that. It's stupider than
okay,
that.
Okay,
all right. We'll get into it. It's way we'll stupider. Start that.
All right. But, you see right, me, Image Comics. Then, right?
Yeah, right,
so
than
I actually liked Image. I'm sorry.
Stupider than that. But yeah, manga is basically giving the people that were into comic books and loved like being able to read the stories and knowing that this character that I want to read, if I'm going to read Spider-Man, I can read this story all the way through and everything about Spider-Man will make sense. They won't change it. They won't get rid of it. But instead of it just being in color, it's in black and white, and I have a thicker book of it, and I can keep reading it, and I know that these characters, everything that happens in them, happens to them, will matter.
Yeah, get some floppies.
Right. It matters to these characters.
Yeah,
and it that's really what pulled that's why the manga market is so popular right now, is because it's pulling those comic book fans that want to physically read a comic book and putting them in a place that like you know that this story will have a beginning, a middle, and an end, and the things that will happen to this main character is going to matter to this main character from chapter 1 to chapter 200 or whatever.
All right. Well, before this episode gets too long in the tooth, I can feel like we probably go another few hours, which, you know.
I mean, I don't have work tomorrow, so.
I don't either.
I actually have three different servers to reboot because, like, so at work we went over. I work for a small company.
I can chat you some PowerShell code and do those automatically at a time interface.
The Windows ones are done. The Windows servers are done. I've got Windows Administrative Center. Windows ones are done. It's the Linux ones, and not all of them are Ubuntu based. It's the other ones that I don't control, that I never built, and it's the legacy department that like. So I can't even use like the Terraform stuff messing with it anyways. So like I've got a wake up early in the morning, get those booted. Those got stupid names too, which are some of them are kind of cool, but some of them are kind of dumb. So I've got to reboot those servers. And then I still have to, what is it? I've got three different, yeah, I've got work to do tomorrow. I'm sorry. So I have Wednesday off.
No, that starts my my pain week and a half. I work every day until the 30th.
Well, I'm on vacation, but Wednesday's when the snow is going to start hitting, and I got to get I want to get some stuff done outside while I can.
Okay. Sure.
That's fine.
But no, I'm on vacation. I can do whatever I want. So.
That's cool.
Yeah. Here, yeah, go to your wagey.
We can talk about, you know, science and stuff anytime you want.
That's fine. All right. Well, before this episode gets too long, the truth, like I said, go on and get hang up. Remember, all those listening this far, you're a true fan of Low Key Wall. You could have been listening to anything else in the world, but you decided to listen to this, and that I thank you. Remember, this is a live show, so if you're listening on a podcast form, remember, we do this show Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We go for about an hour. Today we went a little over, so most of the times we go a little bit over because we could keep talking. We also have our big show. We was going to do it this Friday, but we're pushing it back to next Friday. So the 30th, we're going to push and do our big 4-hour show. We're going to bring some people over from the larger network that we did talk to some of them. We're going to get some more people pulled, which this might be not this one, but the one in January. We're probably going to do that next one in person, hopefully. I think that one will have the tent set up so Ryan Hill can just camp. So he'll be ready for the big show the next day. Mm-hmm. Granted, it'll be snowing, but, you know, he'll be fine. he's a tough guy. But yeah,
dependencies.
Yeah, remember this. I want everyone to come and enjoy this show live. I think that's the best part of this show. If you enjoyed it, had some of the fun, come be in front of the show live, join in the conversation. We have a lot of fun. You're doing these episodes live on Monday nights. So, once again, I want to say thank you for listening and say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
They're waving for the people listening to the podcast.
I said bye, everybody.
They're waving.
Yours didn't get registered, by the way.
Well, you talked over me. That's fine.
Sure.
Bye. Bye.